Good morning. No, I'm not Pastor Steve. For the announcements this morning, please check the boards when they were up and the bulletins. We have prayer for Juanita, Judith, Judy, Rhonda, Carol, Mac, Vivian, Cody, Dennis, Jean and Brian, Olivia, Andrea, Paul, Matt, Sarah, Dave, Emily, and Dennis, plus Kenna Hittrick, plus Kenna Herrick, who's in the Army. Got a message to offer prayer for Starlet Clement. I have no other additional information on that. For those of you who are new to us, Starlet and her family were members of St. John's for several years. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church at 120 West Water Street in Sydney, Ohio. We thank you for joining us this morning, and I do not accept tomatoes. I'm standing behind the altar just as a protection. Our gathering song is Blessed Be Your Name. Please stand.
Blessed be your name, land that is plentiful, with streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Today's prayer, O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 50, beginning at the 15th verse. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crimes of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept and fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended for it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 14, beginning at the first verse. Welcome to those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This comes today from the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 21st verse. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often do I have to forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." I want to stop right here. I've looked at three different Bibles this morning, and I've got 70 times seven. The reading that I've got is 77. So if you hear that, it's all the same thing. Back to the word. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat and said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you. And so far, thank you for putting up with me. Today, we sit at Jesus' feet once again as he teaches Peter and all of us about forgiveness. This can be a tricky subject. We know that we should forgive. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we commit to it. As we see Jesus on the cross, we witness him forgiving all those responsible, even us. When we see these things and commit to these things, when we understand God's overwhelming forgiveness of us and our sinfulness, we also realize just how difficult it is, about as difficult as eating a whole bag of M&Ms. Jesus gives us the power to forgive one another, but it can be so hard to really do it. This is what Peter and Jesus are talking about in the beginning of our gospel reading today. Peter asks, "How often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Peter thinks he understands the love that Jesus is showing and sharing. Peter thinks that he has figured out a way that he can share and show that love brings to us from Jesus. As many as 7 times? Sounds like a lot of times, a lot of forgiveness, and a lot of love. Jesus is heartened by the question, but then goes on to show Peter that forgiveness, at its most foundational, is extravagant beyond our thinking. Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. In Jesus' response, in saying this, Jesus is showing us once again God's gracious commitment to us all and the depth and breadth of God's forgiveness to us. We are challenged to forgive until we know that we have forgiven, not in words, but also in letting go. Jesus is also teaching us that forgiveness is the opposite of revenge. In using such a large number, Jesus is showing us that forgiveness should overwhelm our need for revenge. So Jesus shows us that forgiveness is more powerful than vengeance because forgiveness brings hope. Jesus then continues with the topic, the parable of the servant so far in debt that there is no way out. He owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, a talent at that time was worth roughly 20 years' wages. So his master forgave him 2,000 years' worth of money. And I'll find the page. First of all, how can someone run up that kind of debt? Then how can his master, the king, forgive it all? Once again, Jesus shows us that forgiveness is extravagant. We should be grateful to God for all his forgiveness in our lives. Another thing that Jesus shows us in this parable is that forgiveness is there for the asking. God is always willing to listen to us, to guide us into repentant lives. It doesn't matter how bad we have been or how awful we feel, God loves us and forgives us. In fact, we don't ever deserve it. And God forgives us regardless because forgiveness is a gift of God's love given when we are undeserving. It is not given as a reward when we become more suitable. Forgiveness is always within reach. But Jesus also shows us that forgiveness involves a death of some sort, a letting go. We need to die to our claims of vengeance, to die to our demands. The king in the parable is willing to die to that debt and offer new hope. It is Jesus' own death that assures our forgiveness and opens the floodgates of God's love to us all. Our willingness to let go completely can lead to trouble for us. If we are still counting, have we really forgiven? The forgiveness Jesus is calling us to give goes beyond calculation. Finally, in today's reading from Genesis, We learn from Joseph and his brothers that forgiveness is what assures community and builds God's kingdom. You may remember the story of Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, whose dreams drove his 11 brothers to distraction. One day they fell on him, beat him, and eventually sold him as a slave to traders and sent him off to Egypt, and then lied to their father that he had been killed. They wanted vengeance on an irritating brother, but God had other plans. There was a time when Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was troubled by dreams, and Joseph was brought before him to interpret the dreams. The dreams were predicting rich and fertile growing and a time also of famine. Joseph was put in charge of guiding Egypt through the famine. This is when Joseph's brothers re-enter the story. They come to Egypt to buy grain because the famine has hit them as well. Joseph recognizes them, but they do not recognize Joseph. Joseph tried, but for a brief moment, to extract vengeance. But the love of God and his love for family overturned those efforts. Forgiveness was granted, and they all moved to be in Joseph's care. Today's story is after Jacob's death. The brothers are worried that now that dad has died, Joseph will take his vengeance. Joseph, instead, repeats his forgiveness. He knows that forgiveness is the basis for community. Joseph also knows that forgiveness builds God's kingdom. He reminds his brother that while they meant it all for harm and destruction, God had used it all for good. Joseph inspires us to forgive. There's a hard truth about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that what they did was ever acceptable then or now. Forgiveness does not mean that you will even allow that person back into your life or that you ever should. Forgiveness means that you are releasing the feelings of resentment or bitterness associated with that person or situation. You are no longer allowing it to have power over you. You are moving forward for yourself and not taking the baggage of others or their offenses with you. Forgiveness can be difficult because of what was done by us or to us. Forgiving gives up hope for a better past, but then grants that we enter into the future with a new and renewed hope. Today, Jesus is teaching us that we are called and empowered to forgive. This is because the kingdom of heaven is filled with forgiven sinners. There are no good ways, there are no good guys, or upright or successful types who, by dint of their own integrity, have been found acceptable to God. There are only failures, only those who have accepted the death to their sins and who have been raised up by our Lord, who himself died that we might live. As we follow Jesus, we are called to build God's kingdom. We build the kingdom by adding more and more forgiven sinners, by caring for and loving our neighbors, even those who have sinned against us. God's forgiveness is extravagant, and it precludes revenge. It always involves a death to and a letting go of our sinfulness or our needs of vengeance. Forgiveness helps us to build and live within community, especially the communion of saints gathered here around the table of the Lord. May the love and forgiveness of God fill and inspire you. Amen. Please stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remembering the caring, generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. We pray for the church, bless the missions and ministries of all our congregations, that they uplift the good news of salvation in ways that can be understood. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for creation. Send rains to lands experiencing drought and healing to rivers. enrich the soil for trees and plants, protect the crops needed to feed those who hunger. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who govern. Encourage those in positions of power to lead with empathy, practice forgiveness, and care for those who struggle. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our neighbors who face illness of any kind, for those strained financially, for all living with chronic pain, mental illness, the disease of addiction, or otherwise afraid or in harm's way. Protect all who cry out for mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation. Open our hearts to practice intentional invitation. Help us to forgive each other, practice patience, and choose welcome over judgment. Move us to care for those in our community seeking refuge and safety. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for saints who died in faith. Show us how to live faithfully, creatively, lovingly, in your church and the world. Lord, in your mercy. Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. We now have our offering.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship your holy name.
Prior church,
whatever
prior congregation
may pass
and
whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. holy name. Worship your holy name. God, I worship your holy name.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to thank Dwayne for his part in the service. When Pastor Steve suggested I help out, I said, well, I had a foot surgery in April, and I have to have another one. And you know how surgeons are, and they keep moving things. So I said, well, you can plug me into Holy Communion like on Thursday when you do the bulletin. So I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm glad Dwayne was able to do the other part. And I'm just glad that we were able to come together and worship the Lord. Go into the world with hope.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Your grace is enough for